It's your Daily Dose of Donna. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, April 25th. We've got so many really kind of out there stories, different than our normal reality TV solely stories, but they're all really interesting. There's a lot going on in the world these days, a lot going on with the justice system, a lot going on with celebrities. And I'm here to just kind of filter through what we find interesting to bring to you. We'll also talk a little bit about Jax and his PR lady. We've got some reality stuff that I can intersperse throughout and any other content, you know, topics that come up through the day. This is the thing about Daily Dose of Donna. You never know what you're going to get, but that is all coming up on today's Daily Dose of Donna. I have to say, I was spending some time this morning reading a lot of your comments on YouTube. I get such wonderful, sweet comments. Of course, there's always a nasty comment here and there, but that's okay. I take one for the team. I really do enjoy reading what you guys have to say for the most part. I'm glad you enjoy some of my weird version of comedy. I'm not a comedian. I've never claimed to be one, but if I can make you laugh, I can make you smile, I will happily continue to do that, my love beans. It's all for you, my love beans. So I am living a really, really nice couple days. I have some freedom. I'll explain another time. I'll explain more tomorrow. But it's been so lovely. I'm spending I feel like I'm nesting. I'm not pregnant, okay? I know that you're wondering. But I'm not. I've been nesting in my home. I feel like I'm cleaning, I'm organizing, I'm purging. Do you know how much crap kids hold on to? How much crap they hold on to? And you know, my kids aren't home. And so I went through their rooms and I just got a big old bag. Tossed it all in there. Stuff that my kids will never know is missing. I'm sure if you have kids, you know what that means. I think all kids, to an extent, are hoarders. Maybe not as bad as Tori Spelling, but they are up there in the world of hoarding. And we've got, you know, we got to cut them off early. Speaking of hoarders, which reminds me of Intervention, the show Intervention, someone posted on the Daily Dose of Donna Facebook page that when they have nothing else to watch at night and they're just kind of relaxing, they watch Intervention. Now, I can't think of anything worse to watch when I'm trying to relax. That show stresses me the F out. What is your show when you have nothing else to watch? What is the show that you turn on? Lately, I've been watching Schitt's Creek just to kind of give me a smile. Last night, I finally finished the second season of Selling OC, and it's so good, you guys. I'm really into it. And if you know Selling OC and if you've watched Selling OC, maybe you'll connect to this. I am shipping, and what you know what shipping means, okay? Shipping is when you are like supporting a relationship. I didn't know this, but now I know this. I am shipping Alex Hall and the Ryan dude on Selling OC. So if you guys have watched it, you know what I'm talking about. Ryan was married to Brittany Snow, the actress, and then they got divorced. And I'm really like, I don't know, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe they're the villains, but I like the show and I like them. And I think season three is coming out next. I am also, I've told you this already, and I will break this down. I think I'm going to do a deep dive on the Charli D'Amelio story later on Patreon. But I am just starting season three of the D'Amelios on Hulu. I can't stop. I can't stop. And I also don't want to continue. Like I am really, oh, this is so interesting. You guys are giving me the dirt, the IRL dirt of Selling OC. Okay, so Andrew says they broke up recently. So Alex and Ryan started dating, like for real, for real. Do you think it's going to be on season three? And then they broke up. And Michelle says, yes, they hate each other and now have blocked each other. Oh, and he left the show. Okay, well, thanks for bursting my bubble, guys. What other relationship are you shipping these days? Is there anything like out there that you're really excited about? Leslie wants to know what I'm finding interesting about the D'Amelios. I'll tell you. Almost nothing. But I guess what to me is so interesting about the D'Amelios, and I come from, you know, a casting director perspective, someone that used to cast kids. So technically, if I was still a casting director, these are the kids that I would be looking at and putting on lists for all the big shows, okay? When they were a little younger, they're already like, you know, adult age now. But I've just been so interested in the fact that Charli D'Amelio really got famous on TikTok by doing these silly dances, right? The Renegades, all the things we were talking about yesterday, like the It's giving Kim Zolciak Bierman, Renegade. And I'm confused by it anyway. But I get it if you just watch her on TikTok and you just see the videos because she's very cute and she's a good dancer. This is like, you know, 4 years ago, peak pandemic time. But now, like watching the show, and I say this not to be mean. I say this as an observer because my job is to observe these people that I don't know and give you my judgment on them. Okay? And thank you for being here and listening and watching. They have zero personality. When I tell you, and I just am wrapped on season two, so like I don't know what's happening on season three, but as of season two, they have zero personalities, both Charli and her older sister, Dixie. Dixie is a little bit more edgy, but still they lack something. And when I used to cast, I remember this kind of a vibe. We would have people come in and we would call them vanilla. We would say like, they're just vanilla. Meaning good, fine, not memorable. You're not going to go to a restaurant or like a beautiful ice cream store in the middle of Italy and get a vanilla ice cream and like remember it for the rest of your life. Or maybe you will. But to me, it's not memorable, right? Vanilla is base. It's like the base for toppings. And so that's how I kind of look at these girls. Now, another thing I find incredibly interesting about this family is they were wealthy before they became such huge celebrities. So they came into it with wealth. Mark and Heidi, the parents, are now influencers on their own. They both are like millions of followers. And they've pushed their kids into this. I don't want to say pushed because I think their kids have willingly wanted to. But definitely they've, you know, pushed the business side of this. It's giving Kardashian. And also, I have never seen two young girls that have so much money prior to being famous, so much fame, resources, all of the opportunities in the world. I mean, they were on Dancing with the Stars, tour, iHeartRadio, all these things. I've never seen two girls so tortured. They act as if their life is falling apart from morning till night. And the episode that I just finished this morning, and it was when Dixie's getting ready for her tour, and Charli is also in the studio creating music, and they're just crying all the time. I mean, they're so depressed, and I find it really so interesting to watch. Like, and I'm not judging depression by any means. I just don't understand it. I don't understand it with them. I don't. So while I'm happy that they show vulnerably and openly that they are, you know, going through a struggle, I really do wish that they, that we got a little, it's giving a little bit like Gen Z entitled, spoiled vibe. Does that make sense? Now, recently, Dixie did go live and had this like viral live. Dixie's the older sister. I believe she's like 22, 23. And she was acting erratic. Okay. Her hair is like bleach blonde. She had a black eye. She was wild. She seemed very kind of like frenetic. It was giving Adderall. It was giving pasta. It was giving all those things. We're definitely going to have to deep dive. I will do a deep dive for you guys. I promise. There's a reason I'm watching three seasons of the D'Amelios. Okay. I'm not doing this for my health. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for all of my Patreon members who are interested in this insane shit that I'm still watching. Yeah, you know, Shalene is the reason why I started watching it, to be honest. And she says, I truly believe it is a trauma to become famous accidentally in this day and age, and especially so for adolescents. 100%. If you look back, like, so Charlie became famous around 2019, 2020 by doing a dance. That's how she got famous. She did the Renegade dance and it exploded. And number one, it wasn't even her dance, which is the craziest part about it. She didn't create that dance. She wasn't their original choreographer, which is insane because everyone attributed it to her. And she got put on Jimmy Fallon. She got put on a Super Bowl commercial. She got a Dunkin' Donuts collab. She got all this insane, insane fame out of nowhere. This young girl, she just turned 18 on season two. I would say she was probably 14. So I can't imagine what that does to you. But a lot of you guys are saying, Lisa says she won Dancing with the Stars. She headlined the tour and she still wasn't that interesting. You know, Lance works on Dancing with the Stars and I asked him the same. And he's like, no, that's truly how they are. Like, there's something missing there. It's that spark. It's that like wanna watch factor. And I think some people have it and some people don't. And if she would have just come into a casting room without the TikTok fame, if Charli D'Amelio would have just come into a Disney casting room at the age of 14 and auditioned, I can guarantee you right now she would never get the role without the fame. The fame from the TikTok virality is why she is where she is. I just don't think she has it. And neither does her mom. She and her mother were very vanilla on Dancing with the Stars. Yes, her mom, Heidi, is also a little devoid of emotion. It's really interesting to watch. And, you know, well, Shalene says, and can you imagine the stress and anxiety you would have as a child knowing you're responsible for your family's income? I mean, I've talked about this ad nauseum with so many of these child stars when I saw these families praying together in prayer circles, hoping that their kid gets the role because they need to be able to pay their apartment rent. I've seen that insanely, but this is a family that was already very wealthy. They could walk away from that and still be okay. She was never responsible, but it's the torture that they're going through, the crying, the constant devastation and depression. And it's like, what would your life be had you not been famous? Yes, you get all these pluses, but is all this like devastation and horror and like depression worth it? Is it worth it in the real world? Like, I just don't. I don't know. I would have to pull my kid out if I saw them crying that much, to be honest. Like, I just don't get it. So anyway, we are going to get more into that. Don't you worry. I'm here for you guys. I like the deep dives. I'm all about the deep dives. In fact, I've got a few that I'm working on secretly, very under the radar. We have to shout out today's sponsor of Daily Dose, and that is OneSkin. As always, I use OneSkin on a daily basis. With Mother's Day coming up, I wanted to take a quick moment to appreciate not only the moms, but anyone who's taken on the role of caregiver. You do everything for everyone else, and now it's time to do something for you, starting with your skin. Today's sponsor, OneSkin, has a simple, scientifically validated routine that keeps your skin looking and feeling good. And here's the best part. It also targets the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS01 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. And they've got several studies to back it up. So I use the OneSkin products in addition to all my other products, because I really do use a lot of products. One being in the morning, I mix it with a tinted SPF. In the evening, I mix it with my nighttime moisturizer and some castor oil. Like, I really do slather it on my skin. So it's a really cool scientific way to fight your aging, and you'll get 15% off your OneSkin purchase using the code DAILYDOSE when you check out at oneskin.co. You do so much for others. Try OneSkin today and do something good for yourself for Mother's Day. So let's keep it going. Let's keep the stories going, huh? How many of you guys were shocked this morning to see this Harvey Weinstein news? Ugh, it's like so depressing to even talk about, but we have to talk about this. So I'm going to do my best to give you a very, very short kind of like abridged version of what actually happened. But essentially, you know, Harvey Weinstein was the main kind of character in the Me Too movement that took place. What year was that? Was that, when did he actually get, well, he was in trial in 2020, but I want to say it was like 2016, 17. Am I crazy? When Me Too started? So he was obviously in that really, you know, he was at the center of this huge lawsuit from so many different women that came out and basically accused him of, you know, SA and inappropriate conduct and rape and just horrible, horrible things. Okay. And 2017. Thanks. Thanks, Kate. Now, from what I know, he has lawsuits in both Los Angeles and New York. I don't think that there's more than that. So he had to go through two trials, and he was convicted in Los Angeles and has a jail sentence of, I believe, 16 to 20 or something more years in Los Angeles. But meanwhile, New York, in his New York trial, he appealed it. And the New York, this morning, Court of Appeals has overturned Harvey Weinstein's rape conviction. And apparently, when he learned of this, he wept tears of joy. Gross, right? Tears of guilt. It says he's delighted that finally somebody listened to him. He was happy that someone finally, you guys, he's been accused of sexual abuse by more than 80 women. 80. Okay. So he's not going to be released for anyone that's curious. I also was like concerned, like, are you serious? No, he still has to, probably for the rest of his life. I mean, he's a 72-year-old man. He has 16 more years. He was serving 23 years in a New York jail for two specific attacks. And these convictions were overturned after the appeals court ruled that the judge in the original trial made a crucial error. Okay, essentially what happened was the judge, I'm trying to find specifically what he did. The judge Judge Burke, Justice James M. Burke, who presided over Weinstein's New York City case in 2020, made a crucial mistake during the initial trial. In a 4-3 decision, the appellant court determined that the Judge Burke had made an error in allowing women to testify who were not part of the case. It is an abuse of judicial discretion to permit untested allegations of nothing more than bad behavior that destroys a defendant's character but sheds no light on their credibility as related to the criminal charges lodged against them. Okay. So essentially what happened is that he had women, the judge allowed for women to, I assume women, to come and testify in this trial that were not actually testifying about the things that he was being convicted for. Essentially, he was not, they were just talking about him as a person, right? In a negative way. And so this is the problem with the justice system, is like any little move can change the course of your outcome. Because if there's just little errors like that, and that's all they needed to do, this appeals court, that's all they needed to do was find one error in the way that the trial was held in some sort of action that they can now overturn the entire case. It's like, it's basically like, you know, I don't know, you go to a restaurant, you have the most amazing meal ever, but then they charged you 5% more for tax. And you can now go and fight and get your entire meal paid for. So even though you enjoyed the meal, loved the meal, and the meal was perfect, now all of a sudden you can go and get a reversal on everything because there was a small little error. This is exactly what, you know, obviously in a very, very different case. And it's such an unfortunate situation because there's so many people out there that are probably wrongly convicted. There's so many people out there that probably deserve this kind of overturn in such a better way. And Harvey Weinstein is one person that we can guarantee does not deserve to get anything overturned. Like, he actually needs to be in jail forever. And the fact is, he has the resources, he has the connections, and he has the money. He has all of these people in his corner still that will fight for him until the day he dies. And who knows what's next? Like, who knows what's next in terms of what can happen in the Los Angeles court case? There is a new trial that has been ordered. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens. But the group behind the Me Too movement, which is called Silence Breakers, says the news today is not only disheartening, but it's profoundly unjust. But this ruling does not diminish the validity of our experiences and our truth. It's merely a setback. The man found guilty continues to serve time in a California prison. We continue to stand strong and advocate for that change. We will continue to fight for justice for survivors everywhere. And Ashley Judd, who she accused Weinstein publicly, she was one of many, obviously, shared her disappointment, saying it was profoundly unfair. I just think he's the most disgusting human being ever. And when you just like watch, when you just like look at him, I feel like you just know, right? You just feel that he is. And I have no idea. I just worry that, you know, people have a lot of money out there. And when you have a lot of money and you have nothing but time and you kind of have nothing to lose because he doesn't have anything to lose, I worry that it's just going to keep going and they're going to find these things. And meanwhile, there's so many other things that the legal system should be focusing on right now, right? Ugh, he's so gross. Not a fan. Not a fan. And bummed. And honestly, so much, I mean, this is just like a personal feeling. I feel like so much of this country right now is bumming me out. Do you guys ever have those moments? And I'm sorry, I'm trying really hard to bring light to your life. But do you ever have those moments where you walk around and you just like keep hearing bad after bad after bad after bad in the news, on social media, in your feeds? And you're like, wait, what is going to happen next? Like, I do feel like our world is coming to some sort of, you know, shit show moment where we need to like implode and start over again. Because is this what they call the Great Depression? Like, I swear, I'm like, what's next? What's next? I feel like I walk down the other, like, I mean, I shouldn't get too into this. But actually, someone in my family, my stepsister, was involved in this horrible thing that happened here in Sherman Oaks, where she was just walking broad daylight, Main Street, Ventura Boulevard, and there was a man who was obviously mentally ill and I believe homeless, and he attacked two women, just like we hear in New York City, attacked two women, separate incidents. Security camera caught both of them online. They finally arrested him yesterday. But literally, she just got out of her car, my stepsister, and was like attacked in the middle of the day in a parking lot. And I start to say to myself, like, what's next? And now I'm like anxious. Do any women feel this way? Where you walk down the streets and it's not like a joke. You literally are. I feel like everyone that I see looks like a potential threat. And I don't like this kind of life. I don't want to live this life. So, oh, that's how I'm feeling today. All right. But you know what? My friend kind of turned it around on me. And she said, listen, we're not supposed to have access to this much information. There was always bad people and there was always bad things in our world. The thing is that we used to have newspapers, right, where you would get one thing in the morning and then maybe you would get the nightly news at night. But the information travels way too fast and there's too much of it, right? So if you open up Instagram, if you open up Twitter, if you open up YouTube or TikTok or whatever, it's like, and then of course, daily news all day long on the CNN, Fox News, news cycles, you know, whatever. You will literally be bombarded by negativity, and our brains and our like human nature is not supposed to like, we're not supposed to see this much negativity. How much can we take? Which is why I believe so many of us, including you guys, are obsessed with reality TV and obsessed with these stupid shows because it essentially pulls me out of my, you know, depression because I just like live a different life. You almost like jump into a different life. Does that make sense? And if like my depression is Jesse and Michelle's divorce on TV, like if that's what I'm watching, that's happy news compared to what's happening in real life. You know what I mean? Oh my gosh, the comments are crazy. You guys, I'm seeing a lot of people that have had crazy, scary experiences. Andy says it's men too. I was walking a few blocks from my office and had a gun pulled on me. Where, Andy? Here in LA? I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm here. I'm going to give you happiness. We're going to be toxic positivity, just like Brittany, y'all. Right? Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine, guys. As long as we've got Lego Zach and Jax Rotten Hail, we will be fine in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, is Brittany responsible for that, Andy? Isn't that where Brittany Cartwright's from? Was it her Mima? Just wondering. I'm not trying to make light of your situation, but I'm actually trying to make light of all the situations right now. Okay, so let's move on to something happier, right? For Sophia Bush. Did you guys see this news? Now, one of you guys sent me a DM months and months and months ago saying Sophia Bush is going to come out. Sophia Bush is in a relationship with Ashlyn Harris. And I was like, I was so surprised by it. No way. Are you serious? Can't believe it. And sure enough, she knew. So Sophia Bush, 41-year-old Sophia Bush from One Tree Hill, who's been married two times to two men, announces finally out loud that she is queer and in love with Ashlyn Harris, as she shares her former partners have always known that she was into women. She can finally breathe now. She was married to Chad Michael Murray. He was the co-star of One Tree Hill back in 2005 to 2006. Where is Chad Michael Murray now? We need to do a Where Are They Now? Although I never was a One Tree Hill watcher. I think I aged a little up on that. Not sure I ever watched One Tree Hill. So she was married to One Tree Hill star Chad Michael Murray from 2005 to 2006, and then Grant Hughes more recently from 22 to 23. She says that she always told her partners that she was into women. And I'm curious, like, I'd love to know from them. Did she say, I'm into women, like I am in love with women? Or did she say, women are beautiful, like they turn me on? I'm curious. I would imagine there's a lot of men in this day and age who actually have anxiety that their wives or their partners or someone is very, very, like someone, a woman in their life is secretly into women because of how many women have come out in their later years. In the news and in social media and on entertainment culture, et cetera. What do you guys think? Like, I wonder if a lot of husbands are actually anxious about this after seeing so many, like allegedly Kyle Richards. And then of course we have Sophia Bush, and there's so many more that I can't think of them right now. Glennon Doyle? I don't know. I don't know. Okay, so this is what Sophia Bush said for Glamour magazine. She said, and I'm going to read it to you guys, part of it. I find it interesting. In April of 2022, I was close to calling off my wedding. Instead of running away, I doubled down on being a model wife. In 2023, my now ex-husband posted a lovely tribute to our first anniversary on Instagram. When I saw it, I felt the blood drain from my face. Fans and friends were telling me how exciting this milestone was and how happy I looked. I felt nothing. Things hadn't been easy at home, but everyone says marriage is hard, right? As the day wore on, I felt mounting pressure from strangers online waiting for me to post something. What a strange part of public life to have to navigate. So I sat myself down and chose a picture. It was a black and white photograph of us running away from the camera. Yes, I see the bittersweet irony now. I wrote a really nice story about the people in that picture, except it was just that, a story. I typed something about how incredibly happy I was and tried to drown out the familiar voice in my head. Make it look easy. Make it look perfect. If your smile is shiny enough, maybe no one will notice that up close, all of your teeth are broken. But sometimes broken is just broken. I hit post and then I walked into the bathroom and I threw up. And then she's saying that during the summer, that summer, she moved back into LA. She separated. She was filing for divorce. She started hanging out with a group of women who also were going through their own issues. People like Ashlyn Harris, who is a former U.S. soccer player. She was friends with her in 2019. They became really close, and they were at a fancy conference in Cannes, France, and it soon became clear that they started to kind of like connect. She said she didn't expect to find love in the support system. She didn't know it was there until she saw it. She just saw a really good friend and who had a really happy life. And then other people, I guess, in their circle started to say, you guys are so similar. You finish each other's sentences, etc. And she said, It took me confronting a lot of things, what felt like countless sessions of therapy and some prodding from loved ones. But eventually I asked Ashlyn to have a non-friend group hang to talk about it. And that meal was 4.5 hours long and was truly one of the most surreal experiences of my life thus far. She said it was a sparkly moment. She felt the universe had been conspiring for her, and the feelings she has in her bones, she'll hold on to no matter where things go from here. And eventually she said that, you know, she's in love with Ashlyn, and, you know, she talks about the LGBTQ community and how, you know, she's nervous about the attacks on that community in the world right now, and how she feels really happily, and she feels like she's home. She says, I think I've always known that my sexuality exists on a spectrum right now. I think that the word that best defines it is queer, and I can't say it without smiling, and that feels pretty great. I mean, listen. The one thing about this situation that is a little bit different is Sophia Bush, like, I'm just curious why, because it sounds to me she was married for 1 year and she was already like throwing up at the idea of talking happily about their marriage in 1 year. If that's because she didn't love him, maybe, or is it because of the fact that she maybe wasn't like into men or whatever. I wonder why she got married. It was still trying to kind of fit this mold. Now, a lot of people have issues because Ashlyn Harris was very happily married to another person named, I don't have it in front of me, Ashlyn's ex-wife. And oh gosh, I wish I had her name in front of me. I can get it really fast. Ashlyn, because I always like to not leave it without the actual ex. Ashlyn Harris's ex is Allie Krieger. Allie Krieger, who's also a soccer champion. She says she learned of the divorce filing during practice. She was completely blindsided by this. And apparently she says that she believes that, you know, Sophia Bush and her fell in love, and that's why she filed for divorce. And I wouldn't be surprised. I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised. And I think that that makes a lot of sense actually for me, that she probably fell, maybe they fell, I mean, listen, they met in 2019. They probably fell in love way before they each got divorced or filed for divorce. That's my gut feeling. It happens. It happens. You guys know, I talk about this before. I think I've talked about this. Taylor Strecker. For those of you that know Taylor, she has a podcast. A lot of you guys are fans of hers. She's best friends with Stassi from Vanderpump Rules. She's also like co-hosted The Toast, and she's been on a bunch of different podcasts. She was a radio host on, at the time it was called Cosmo Radio on Sirius Radio. She ended up, she was talking so much about her husband and her boyfriend who then became her husband. This is like around the time when I was getting married to Lance. She was so in love with him, and she just like talked so much about it, and we followed the journey. And a few years later, she decided to file for divorce, and then we find out that she eventually fell in love with her very close friend, also named Taylor, a woman, and now is a lesbian and is married to Taylor, the other Taylor, Taylor Donahue. So it's now Taylor and Taylor. So this is like something that happens, you guys. This is something that happens. A lot of people, I would say, probably find these things out later on in life. How many men that I talk to on a daily basis that are fans of Daily Dose of Donna have come out later in their life after being married with kids? So I don't know. So I don't know if she actually, you know, separated from her wife prior or whatnot. We don't know. But I find it interesting. It's just all interesting to me. It's good. It's good to gossip about, right? Let's talk a little bit about Vanderpump Rules. So Jax Taylor had come out and said, you remember a few weeks ago, he had come out and said, Vanderpump Rules is scripted. He was at his bar and he was on a mic. Well, Lisa Vanderpump hits back at Jax Taylor's claim that Vanderpump Rules is scripted. She says, I think it's absolutely ridiculous to say scripted. Nobody can write a script like Vanderpump Rules. She said that what Taylor did on his reality show, maybe what he did was scripted, but that does not apply to the rest of the cast. Maybe he sits at home in his little bedroom and writes his own scripts. Well, what do I know? She said, anyway, for the most part, anything Jack says doesn't make any sense to me. She clearly doesn't like Jack. She also doesn't think Brittany should get back together with Jax. She says, show me a scripted show and I'll show you fucking Vanderpump Rules. Scripted, scripted. Oh no, this is what he said. He said that. Show me a scripted show and I'll show you effing Vanderpump Rules. Scripted, scripted. I've been on the show for 9 effing years. This is scripted. That's what he said when he was over at his bar a few weeks ago. So my gut, like, this is what I think. These shows, scripted is the wrong word because they're not scripted, but they're produced. And being produced is a version of being scripted. So I wouldn't say that this podcast is scripted, but it definitely is produced in the sense that I come up with topics I want to talk about and I'm reading things and I'm saying what I know I need to say, like to get to point A, B, and C. So I think that you guys are probably aware of the fact that these reality shows, some more than others, are definitely produced. Yes, Bravo made him apologize and take it back on his podcast last week. So he read some silly, like clearly lawyer written, you know, jargon about it. But this is 100%, 100%, like a produced show. I don't think Vanderpump Rules started this way. I think when it started, if you go back to earlier seasons, I don't think it was like that produced. I think it's gotten more produced as we go along. I don't think you could have created half the storylines because they just happened. For example, like Jax getting arrested in Mexico or Rotten Hail or, of course, Scandoval. I don't think Scandoval was produced. I think this was like really a thing that happened. But what's happening is now they're taking situations that happen in real life and they're creating scenes around it. For example, if you know that you need to have a conversation about A, B, and C, let's do it in this location at this place with 3 people present. Don't talk about it until you're together. What was I watching the other day that was saying like, oh, I mean, maybe it was a Jax and Brittany podcast where they were saying that we're actually friends with all these people in the Valley. And so we're hanging out with them a lot and we'll call producers and be like, we're together on Friday night. You guys want to come and shoot this? That is produced. So that's not just like random stuff. It's like, hey, we're hanging out on Friday. We can talk about A, B, and C. Let's get it going. The way that they have cameras set up at different restaurants and bars, just in case you're wondering, they don't randomly just show up to these restaurants and set up as the people are sitting down and talking. You have to get clearance at the restaurants. You have to get extras. Everyone in the background has to sign some sort of a release that they can be on camera. You have to get approval from the restaurant, obviously, to show that they're there. You have to mic the waiters. You have to mic the hostess, anyone that's talking to the cast, which usually you do hear the waiter because you always hear their orders on Housewives and stuff. So you're miking everyone. You're lighting everyone. And you're setting up cameras prior to everyone coming in. This is a produced situation, right? This is not a oh, randomly, let's just go into this bar and get shots and talk. So just like any other show, you need to go through a lot of clearances before you can shoot anything. You have to get schedules. You have to make sure you have the right crew there exactly at certain times. We don't just randomly see them. Sometimes you have to, you know, worry about phone. You have to get phone footage. Like if it's late at night and people aren't there, we've seen that on shows, or if cameras miss it and then they jump in and try to kind of catch it. But I think, to me, you know, scripted is the wrong word, but produced is the right word. And Lisa knows damn well that it is incredibly produced. And that scene that she had with Jax sitting at Stir right before Jax's brunch with James was highly produced, that they just happened to be sitting there with cameras, Guillermo, and James walks in and then Jax walks in. That's not random, right? Like, why did Jax and Lisa have to have that conversation on camera? Why didn't he just pick up the phone and call her 3 days before, which would have made a lot more sense considering the fact that he was doing a brunch at her place of business? That part felt so weird to me. You hate Jax. You don't talk to Jax. You dislike him and you're mad at him, but you're allowing his name to be all over your posters. It's a little confusing. And, my friend Lauren, who works for Access Hollywood, was filming the other day and with Lisa, and they played a game where she basically said, do you think Britney should go to Jax? And she doesn't. She's like, I don't think that she should get back together with her. And you know what? Honestly, it's like, I agree. Do you guys think we pretty much all agree that Jax is the worst, right? I wonder if anyone out there is, you know, truly thinks that Jax isn't the worst. All right. In the world of rumors, there's a lot of rumors going on out there. Okay. I'm tired of all these rumors. Anne Marie is asking, do all extras get freebies in the restaurants? They do not. No, if you're having dinner, like, here at Taisho and at Casita across the street, like, there's a lot of restaurants that they're shooting these shows always, right? They've shot Real Housewives, The Valley, and VPR at all these restaurants in the last few weeks, or they've aired these episodes. I have friends that were there that night sending me pictures. Like, they still had to pay for their meal. You just have to make sure that you're okay with showing your face on camera. If you're on a scripted show, like a, you know, some sort of TV show where they're filming, yes, there's craft services and extras get food. Okay, you guys, big rumors out there that Dorit is the next one that's going to be axed from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Do I believe that this is possible? Yeah, I would say I believe it's possible. I think I would be sad if she was completely axed. I think Dorit does bring a little, like, I don't dislike watching Dorit. There's a lot of people on these shows that I dislike watching. She's not one of them. A lot of you guys do want her to leave. We'll have to see what happens. It's interesting that we haven't heard who's officially part of the next season's cast, because we heard that they were starting to shoot in April. I would be shocked beyond belief. You know, the more I thought about that one article about Kyle Richards last week, remember how I talked about this, how there was an article saying Kyle has to open up about her relationship with Morgan Wade in order to do the next season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I can't believe I didn't think about this. I think she leaked that article. I think Kyle leaked that. Wouldn't that make more sense? Think about it. Kyle is speaking on, like, wouldn't you think that Kyle would say, I had no choice, I have to talk about it now? It does kind of connect to me. Now, Kim J, speaking of rumors, Kim J in the audience just said, I keep hearing Lindsay Hubbard is pregnant. She's on Watch What Happens Live tonight, waiting for the announcement. I'm not going to out anyone. I if they're pregnant, because I think that that's their job to do. But these rumors have been circulating for a long time in my DMs. We know that she's with a new guy. And if Lindsay Hubbard is pregnant, I'm going to be so happy for her. Speaking of Lindsay Hubbard, that's on tonight, by the way. Yes. Speaking of Lindsay Hubbard, if she gets pregnant, she's no longer on the show next year. Okay. Right. Because how can you do Summer House if you have a baby or you're pregnant? I've talked about this before, but that's the reason that Kyle doesn't want to have a baby, because Summer House will be over if they all get pregnant. We can't handle that. I also wonder, okay, so if Dorit's leaving Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, they'd have to bring on new people. I'm going to try to do my best. I still think Teddy is going to show up. I just still have a vibe. Okay. Are you guys interested in this story about Vicky and Shannon? So Vicky and Shannon, performed last night. Okay. And someone posted, well, by Wig Hello Drama posted, I think this looks like it's like a Reddit post from someone that was there. Okay. It says, I saw Vicky and Shannon last night and it was great. They sang, they gossiped, they even tap danced. Now I would pay money to see Vicky tap dance. I'm just saying. And they both look great. I won't give too much away if you're going. A few highlights. Shannon said filming wrapped last Thursday and Tamra was the worst part. Interesting given the whole John Alexis thing. Vicky had the audience chanting F Tamra at a few points. Oh no. Sky sent the ladies boxes full of tops. Oh, which explains a Sky top pandemic in season one. So remember in season one of Real Housewives of OC, they all wore those Sky tops, which were these like little crossover tank tops with like big brooches here, like these big centerpieces. Vicky burned the brown pants from her season one intro. There was much discussion about casseroles and whooping it up. Shannon was very apologetic about her DUI and said it was a catalyst for some change in her life. Vicky put up a QR code so everyone could get life insurance at the end. Overall, it was really funny and they did a great job. I had no idea what they were even supposed to be doing during the show, but the duets were worth it. Oh, guys. So By Wig Hello Drama says in the caption, not Vicky getting the crowd to chant F Tamra. I want the Trace Amigas back together. And Tamra Judge comments, looks like they can't do the show without me. Keep talking and I'll keep laughing at you too. Ouch. Guys, ouch. That sounds pretty bad. What about this story? What about the story of Raquel? Raquel, in her most recent podcast, she released a reel last night saying that in this next episode, she's going to talk about domestic abuse, okay? And getting basically physically assaulted. She talks about it. I don't want to say it wrong, so let me just pull up her reel that she posted. It looks like she brought on an actual doctor or someone who knows what they're talking about, which is good, right? We don't want this to – is it gone? It's not here. She didn't delete it, did she? I will be shocked if she deleted this reel. Oh, no, it's still here. Thank God. Okay, hold on 1 second. She talks about this.
Can't go rogue today because I've recorded a very personal episode talking about my experience with domestic violence. It's important to me to share it with you guys, but I have been advised not to air the whole thing. If you have ever been in a situation like I have, I hope you can use this episode as a resource.
Many women are unaware that what they're experiencing might be abuse. Substance use and abuse is an early warning sign, alcohol or other drugs, past relationships where there's been abuse. A partner who tells you, my exes were all crazy.
I actually can't.
That is an interesting point. Someone that says all my exes are crazy. Have you guys ever dated someone like that? That is a red flag. That every single one of your exes was crazy. So it was always their fault. It wasn't about you. So she mentions this, and a few people notice in the comments that it was, she's talking about James Kennedy. Okay. There is a content creator called Steph with the Deets, and she posted a little clip of it. So let's listen to it. Give me a second. Let's listen to it. I find it really fascinating that James Kennedy has all these, both Rachel and Kristen Doty have like alluded to this, and yet it's like not being investigated in any way from what we know. I mean, maybe there's something that I'm missing, but okay.
Rachel Levis's most recent podcast was in regards to DV. And Brett Ken, who was on Vanderpump Rules last...
Wait, this is interesting, you guys. So essentially, this is about this guy, Brett Kenyon. So he was on Vanderpump Rules. He's been on the show on and off through years. He was friends with Ariana. He worked at the restaurants, and he kind of got into it last year, and he got fired. Now, a lot of people think he's like a hanger-on, quote-unquote. He's like a thirsty trying to be friends with the Vanderpump Rules people, but essentially this is what he does.
Season made some comments underneath her most recent teaser that are alarming. Shout out to the Bravo investigator for posting this. Someone had commented, it's really hard to believe anything she says because her character is so questionable. Brett responded to this comment and said, I get that, but it definitely happened. I was someone who saw it firsthand in the car one time, and it truly was alarming.
Okay. So he's basically saying it definitely happened. Because I do actually think it happened to Raquel. Now, this is another moment where she's talking about this.
I've always been someone that believes where there's smoke, there's fire when it comes to reality television. Preface that I am not saying that anyone did do something or that anyone did not do something. But if I'm going based off of what I've watched on television for the past decade, do I believe that the old James Kennedy might have done something when it comes to DV? Yes, if I'm going to be honest. He had no respect for women. He spit on Kristen's door. He would fat shame. He would call a lot of the women whores. However, I would never sit and accuse someone of something. I'm just giving my opinion on this matter, because what I've seen on the show is that Kristen actually had hit James before.
Why? You went up to a car with Trent.
James, get the bat.
But then I did some digging. This is an old post from Bywig Hello Drama, and someone had commented saying, didn't Kristen punch James in the face at the wedding? Kristen responded to this comment saying, he shoved me into the bushes. It was cut out. I'm so tired of the narrative that I was abusive, because that's what aired. I've always been someone that believes where there's smoke, there's fire.
You guys. Now, I remember watching that clip where she pushed him so heavily or slapped him along the face. And I will tell you one thing really fast is that in relationships, like if you're going to a physical space, woman against the men or men against the women, so easily on camera in a public setting like that, it shows me that this has happened before. And I could be making this up, but I do think that I could fight with Lance like pretty heavily, but I wouldn't actually like raise my hand and slap him or push him unless this was something that you do in your fights. It didn't feel like it was the first time is what I'm saying. Now, did he actually push her into a bush and she never actually was able to, have that narrative out there because Vanderpump Rules protected James? That would be insane. I wouldn't be surprised hearing a lot about these Vanderpump Rules producers protecting the men. We've heard it many, many times. Let's see the next video that she posted and what she talks about. This is all, by the way, this is at Steph with Da Deets. And she's on Instagram and TikTok.
Her moms are watching. I posted this saying, I'm telling you guys that James abuse stuff is going to come out. Maybe that's even the bombshell that Raquel tells Andy James hit her when she said she bumped her nose. All I know is Kristen stayed at my friend's house one night because James hit her. She was hiding from him. True story. And Kristen commented on this post and said, I confirmed to Your Moms Are Watching what she said was true. Your Moms Are Watching even posted this message exchange. Kristen tells Kristen, I was about to message you because a friend sent me this. And then Kristen tells them, oh yeah, for sure. I've been dying to tell the world for 8 years. Just never felt like the right time and doesn't feel like anyone would care at this point. I wish I could shout it from the rooftops of Los Angeles one day. And personally, I never bought the whole James bumped my nose when he was trying to kiss me after I got a rhinoplasty story. I know it's very hard for a victim of.
Okay. Without getting too into detail on her post, go and follow her. Thank you so much, Steph. I will say, I find this all very, very fascinating. Kristen Doty is an unhinged wild card, right? We know this. We know that she's unhinged. We know that she's a wild card. However, I don't think Kristen Doty does lie that much. I say that much. But she's not one to really lie. She kind of does say the truth. And people don't like her because she says so much and she gets in trouble and she gets people in trouble. But she... What I would find incredibly sad and devastating and interesting is that Ariana and Kristen are very close in real life, okay? Katie and Kristen, I don't think, are as close anymore, but used to be very close. But we know that Ariana and Kristen are incredibly close. In fact, Ariana was just on Kristen's podcast a couple weeks ago. Ariana and Kristen remained very close through Scandoval and everything. Would you find it really, really telling and interesting and bad to know that Ariana would know that James used to physically abuse Kristen Doty, her friend, yet she's hanging out with him at his house doing that thing? For some reason, I just can't see Ariana doing it. Maybe if it was like a Sheena, I would get it more. But Ariana, to me, is someone that really holds strong to her values and really kind of strongly like wants to fight for her friends and fight for what's right. And for whatever reason, I just can't see her overlooking the fact that she's hanging out with Ali Bally and James at James's house. And she's just overlooking the fact that he used to physically abuse her friend. That is just hard for me to follow and hard for me to kind of like wrap my head around. But I'm interested to know, like, I'm interested to know with you guys what you think. Emily says Ariana may not have known, but my question for you is, how can Ariana not know if she's so close with Kristen? And Kristen shared it with like bloggers and stuff. How in the world? I don't know. I find it all really fascinating, but also really sad. And if that is actually the case, I would be interested to know if Ariana knows, and are they protecting James still in this day and age? And a final VPR thought. Someone posted today that Alex Baskin, executive producer of Vanderpump Rules, has unfollowed or is not following Ariana. Now, I don't know if he ever did, but he's not following her today. He also doesn't follow Lisa Vanderpump. Is there a world that Ariana quit Vanderpump Rules at the reunion? And that's what this big blow up was. And that's why Lala's been on the offense, because she feels like Ariana has completely like screwed everyone over. I think that she may have quit. We'll see. We will see. Okay, so thank you guys again for an amazing hour on Daily Dose of Donna. I'm going to have to catch up on the live chat. You guys are really talking about so much, and I want to make sure I watch it and read it. I am going to be releasing this week's Patreon probably tomorrow. Well, it's Thursday already, maybe later today. But you're going to get an episode. And of course, the rewatch, the Bethany rewatch is up there. And we will talk tomorrow. Thank you so much for being here. Love you guys. Bye.